You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up.
Beware, IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Hey.
Ryan Geddes is here. That was good.
This headset sucks.
Sorry. The other one, tell Ostertag to fix the buzz in channel 3.
I'll do it afterwards. I'll get you
if I do it now. Ryan Geddes is also here. And Levi Buchanan is here.
Good morning, sir.
Down from the Great White North.
Yes.
What's up, everybody? How are we all doing? Everyone's good. Feeling a little sluggish in the office today. I feel like energy's down in the office today.
But
we're
going
to pick it up right here.
Now that we're changing all that right now.
I've been staying up late playing games, Damon.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been playing?
Too late.
World of Warcraft, Gran Turismo 5, and Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
What's your score on Pac-Man now?
I'm at like 1.4 million and some change.
Mm-hmm.
In the 5-minute championship 2 course.
Yeah, that's really the only one that matters.
Yeah. I got my S ranking, and yeah, I'm in like the top 5%, which I was talking to Ryan Scott about this because I was feeling really good about that. I was like, all right, now let me see all the people on my friends list that I'm better than.
Mm-mm.
But it doesn't let you do that because it only wants you to care about who's better than you. So you keep striving to get up to the next level. That game's hardcore. I love it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's been a long time since we've had a What's in the Box segment.
What's in the Box?
But we have a package here from Adolf Vega.
And it looks like it could easily be a bomb. Like it's a beat-up Amazon box.
I think it is Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
It looks like the box.
That'd be narrow.
Spoilers.
Not in real life.
Somebody set us up the bomb.
In 7. And there's a special request on the box that says, please open live on podcast.
How long have you had it? You've had it a while.
I got it like on Monday.
Yeah.
Probably.
Just this poof of white powder.
Keys, the key would probably be more helpful than a pen.
At that point, well, you know, we might as well just go live life, you know? If a poof of white powder came out of that box, what would we all do?
We'd go get donuts and put hamburgers in between them. We're finally doing it.
Yep.
Skin's falling off.
All right. We're going to find out what Adolf Vega sent us here. Oh, yeah. I can get to the sound of this.
Oh, that's good. That's good. At least in the one earphone I can hear out of it. Sounded good.
I want to make sure you guys can see what's going on here.
This is exciting.
What do you? Any
this
guesses?
This is the most exciting thing I've done since I put in Gran Turismo 5 and waited an hour for it to update and then install.
I bet it's going to be t-shirts.
You know, I bet it's going to be a picture of some kind.
I'm glad I took your recommendation about Hot Pursuit, but
gotta be awesome.
I'm not,
snakes.
I'm not following you down the Gran Turismo rabbit hole.
Yeah. It's an acquired taste.
Yeah. But you were absolutely right about Hot Pursuit. I'm really
glad you liked it.
It's super fun.
Yeah, that game is really, really good.
I'm still working on this
one. One of my.
Okay,
we're vamping.
I see there's a bows in here.
Those are going on my nipples.
So I'm just gonna start. There's a bunch of here. I'm gonna start with the envelope that's labeled booze.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there's a bunch of little like
mini airplane bottles.
Yeah, so you got some Smirnoff vodka in here. We got Jose Cuervo bottles. Ooh, there's two bottles of each, and then there's two Jack Daniels in here.
How thoughtful.
Yes.
Amazing.
This is good. But wait, there's more in this box. Yeah.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. There is a party popper. Nice. I guess we should do
this
right now.
There was a bomb in there.
I guess we should do this now. Is that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, how does this work? You just pull this
other way.
Put it near your face.
And I put it like point.
Pull it. Oh, I can't believe you didn't know how party popper works, you idiot. That was awesome. God, I wish you were a video podcast.
For people who can't see, Damon poked his eye out.
Yeah.
I did it. For a second there, he started to aim it at his face, and I was like, I'm going to have to
second degree burns.
I'm going to have to talk about that if he does that.
It was a little, it doesn't really pop all that much, actually. There's a letter here I'll read from our number one video game supervillain, Adolf Vega. It says, first of all, I would like to thank everyone for making such an entertaining and wonderful podcast every week. I've listened to GameScoop for God knows how many episodes and have always enjoyed them. I know how much everyone enjoys receiving gifts from fans, so I hope you enjoy this early Christmas gift. I have included a scoop that I hope you will dictate as the official GameScoop scoop. We do have a big giant, this is like a candy scooper.
Yeah, it's like ice scoop.
He says, I've also included some delicious gummy octopuses.
Awesome.
There we go.
Are they sour?
Yeah, the sour bright octopi.
Oh, yeah. We could put those on top of the donuts and in between the hamburgers.
Good. Sharks.
Oh, gummy sharks. Gummy sharks. All right.
That's really good. And Super Mario snacks.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Gummy Super Mario
in a bottle and then infuse it with the liquor.
Have alcohol-infused sour gummy sharks.
I know how much the GameScoop crew loves drinking, so I include tiny bottles of booze to enjoy. For Damon, I've included a CD full of video game remixes for him to enjoy.
Remix!
Best of the best, a tribute to game music here.
Awesome,
the
cool.
CD, yeah. And it keeps going. For Greg.
That's me.
Oh, he says, I actually remixed two songs on the CD, Final Fantasy song and the Futurama song.
Ooh.
I included a comic book for Greg to read, Superman Red Sun.
Oh! That's a dynamite.
Oh, God.
That's
cold shower. Not really.
Which is a parallel universe story where Superman is a communist. I want Greg to do a quick review of this comic on a future GameScoop podcast. Greg should share this comic with his fellow comrades at IGN so everyone can enjoy it. Hope you really enjoy the package.
Well, that's a big comic, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's a graphic novel, buddy.
Thank you so much for an awesome podcast. P.S. I will miss Mr. Craig Harris. Please share some of these goodies with him if you can.
No.
He's going to be at the Natsume party, probably. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we will take some goodies to him tonight. Thank you very much, Adolf Vega. That was very nice.
Very cool.
That's very cool. That nice guy put a lot of time putting that stuff together. That's really awesome.
Good. Thank you.
He really went a long way to redeeming the name Adolf.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiny steps. You know?
All right. Okay.
Hey, Damon.
Yeah.
Remember when you shot yourself with a party popper?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Let's talk about our Game of the Year nominations.
Let's do it.
For 2010.
Splatterhouse.
Yeah.
Scariest game.
Michael Jackson.
This is just...
Scariest game.
We... posted our nominations for the platform awards.
Nom nominations?
Yeah, the Om nominations. We're just holding off on the overall nominations, but it's pretty much the same categories here. So I just wanted to get everyone's thoughts on what their favorite games were in each category. This is, of course, not an official declaration of what IGN is giving Game of the Year awards to. This is just us.
We're casting our ballots.
Yeah.
Spitballing.
Sort of, yes. Sort of doing that. Let's start with best story.
We're doing overall?
Like
every platform?
Yeah. Mm. Or just overall. Like what games had the best story this year?
Mass Effect 2.
Yes. I would think so.
Next.
I mean, so there was like stuff like Alan Wake, there's Heavy Rain. Mm. But nothing really has
the story in Heavy Rain is just it's too dotted with holes to be considered best story.
Mm. There are a lot of holes in Heavy Rain.
Mm.
Even when you do all the endings, there's a lot of, why didn't he do this? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Why is he blacking out? How can he just rely on other people blacking out?
What's happening?
One that's going to get overlooked is Peace Walker. Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a Metal Gear game, so it can't be in the running for best story.
That's what I'm saying. It's the first Metal Gear game in years to make sense and be able to follow.
But
and
that's
have
a low
a
bar.
Simple
I mean,
thing.
Does it just make sense? Or is it really a good story?
No, it was cool. It was cool.
What do you guys think was the funniest game this year? I know Ryan was talking about Costume Quest.
I have not played Death Bank, but Costume Quest is the funniest game I've played this year.
Mm. That's been my flag to carry lately. Yeah.
You haven't played Death Bank either, though. We guess you probably Death Bank. You did play Death Bank.
And do you think Costume Quest is funnier?
I do. I think Costume Quest is much funnier.
Yeah, and I Greg gave me a code for Costume Quest and said, "Hey, you should check this out," and I did. And I'm glad I did. It's really, it's really fun. Game. And you don't like. I was kind of like, I think I had said in one of the other podcasts, "It's Halloween's over. I don't really know if I can like really get it up for this game right now." But I played it, and it was fun. I didn't mind that it was like holiday themed.
Yeah,
it was cool. Really fun game.
I'm looking forward to the DLC for that.
What's the DLC going to be? Do you know?
Oh, it's new. You're back in the troll world or whatever, fighting trolls and stuff.
Mm. Spoilers.
Was Fallout New Vegas funny?
A little bit here.
Yeah,
and there.
I mean, yeah.
Here and there funny, but it's not like overall. Like it's not like LOLing the whole time. I was laughing out loud at things in Costume Quest.
Yeah,
agreed.
Competitive multiplayer.
Ooh, I might put Need for Speed Hot Pursuit up there.
I do like that auto log. Yeah, I think that's very clever. Like, I turn it on and be like, "Damn, Zero beat your scores." And I'm like,
"Yeah, I did.
I'll get that son of a bitch."
Totally. Like, I don't know. Is that, I mean, just because it's kind of, in a way, it's turn based? I mean,
well, so what, like, does Pac Man count in that category then? It's the same sort of thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I that's why I keep playing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep playing it to fail at beating your score all the time.
In the interest of full disclosure, though, there are many IGN editors who have higher scores than even I do. So.
Yeah, I think I beat Levi.
Probably.
Who is bad at games.
Really?
Especially, like, retro ones. He's never really good at those.
Well, he doesn't really like retro games. He likes the modern games.
Modern Warfare.
Yes. I didn't play many competitive... Oh, you know what, though? Man, I played no game online more this year than Battlefield Bad Company
2. I was going to say, yeah, that's the one. That's
that game is great.
People love that game.
Yeah.
Didn't really care for Black Ops multiplayer, but I'm not really a Call of Duty guy in terms of its multiplayer.
What about a co-op game?
Peace Walker.
Yeah?
Yeah. Peace Walker's co-op is awesome.
I didn't play much co-op this year.
Lara Croft is really good.
See, I'm
really
Lara
Croft. Lara Croft. Lara Croft. Dead Nation. Dead Nation's a fun game to play with somebody on a couch hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I don't know if it's like up there for.
I didn't like say it my for winner. You. I'm giving you a nominee. Okay.
These, I gotta say, these aren't that sour.
Really, these sour octopi.
The tropic.
We've all been holding it in.
Trolley bright sour octopuses.
Enough time has passed. Adolf Vega, take your shitty gifts and shove them up your ass. All right.
Ass you better to bring ass.
You gotta bring it when you send a package. To you. I'm kidding, Adolf. Don't kill me.
I think what you should try doing is making a sharktopus.
Okay, I'll work on that.
All right, I like where this is going. This episode just got good.
Just got good.
Oh, those are the sharks being born.
You know, we're having fun with some of our awards this year. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got best use of zombies in there.
Yeah.
So what has the best use of zombies?
Undead Nightmare.
Is that just because it's the most fun zombie game?
Possible, but I mean, no, they do so much good stuff. Like, I was talking earlier, and it's a spoiler, I guess, but, like, you know how in regular Red Dead, there's a mission where you gotta help the woman find her husband, and she's all old, and she's like, "This is supposed to be my special day," and she's all creepy and ghostly or whatever, and then in Red Dead, she's one of the, you know, boss zombies of one of the graveyards, so when you clear out that graveyard, she gets up, and her zombie just goes, "This was supposed to be my special day." It's like, that is awesome. Like, that is such a great throwback to, like, the actual game and what you went through there. So, I mean, there's been plenty, too, outside of that. You know, Dead Rising 2 was, a good game, but more Dead Rising. How's this going? Did you bite it? Oh, my God. Yeah, this shark octopus is getting crazy.
He's licking the tentacles to stick them onto the shark. We're going to have to take a photo of our sharktopus and put it in the...
Put it on the wall. Yeah. All the other.
We'll put it in the article.
What would you say? Best use of zombies?
Oh, he's falling apart. Well,
it might be Undead Redemption. What, I mean, I'm trying to think what else is in there. I didn't play Black Ops, so...
Oh, I did. It didn't stick with me, but I didn't even get to the JFK Knicks and stuff. So
There we go.
It was too clever for its own good.
Was it?
Yeah. My masterpiece.
I'll take a photo.
It's really good. Now you have to eat it after we immortalize it.
What do the sharks taste like? Has anyone had
terrible.
One of those
they taste like a sad childhood. I just had to throw half of one out.
Maybe I'll eat the legs.
That's like off-brand like truck stop candy.
Yeah.
Are you saying Adolf Vega went to a truck stop, probably drunk, and purchased these in a stupor?
Is Adolf Vega a truck driver?
Whenever I say I could go for some candy, Levi, I look for Sathers, Gummalalos, Blue Sharks, gummy candy.
Is that really what it is? It really is.
What is this sticking off the shark's head and the logo?
Oh, that's awesome. That's his nose.
What is that?
That's the point of his nose.
It's the gout.
I want to get that looked at.
Gout of the face?
Are we going to embed the Sharktopus here in the article?
How is the
shark has a keloid?
How's the Mario gummy candy? Nobody's tried that.
I haven't tried those up yet.
Right, somebody's got to get on.
I'll tell Greg's going to jump in.
What was the best boss of this year?
Yourself?
Me?
No, not you. Yourself.
I don't get it.
Think about it. It's meta.
Yeah, but.
I don't know. Bosses are a thing of the past.
Are they?
Can't talk. I don't like the way these.
Some people might disagree with me here.
These are fresh.
In fact, I've had this argument with people where they said they did not like the boss in Mass Effect 2.
Terrible.
The boss.
I did.
Why?
You're stupid.
You're talking about the
confirmed. Yes.
The big giant robot.
Spoiler alert. Yes. I liked him. It wasn't a hard battle. It wasn't why I liked it. It's just because it was so epically huge, and I loved the sound it was making, and I thought it was just badass. I loved fighting it. So, I mean, it wasn't hard. It wasn't a challenge, but...
Kronos, God of War 3.
I was going to say, it's got epic boss fights in God of War 3, right?
I liked Kronos quite a bit. You had to climb all the way up there, and it was one of those, how am I going to get to the next section? What am I going to do to hurt this guy?
How am I going to do it?
What do I do? Oh, my God. It's time I get in here. What am I going to do? Look how big this thing is.
Oh, God.
There was a lot of innuendo there that wasn't meant to be. I was in my head when I was doing that. I was playing the game.
Look how big it is.
I was playing the game.
How am I?
Oh,
it's so big.
All right, now you've all read those.
Candy's gotten progressively worse.
You're eating the Marios?
I think they're all mixing together. The coffee and the gummy octopus is not a good pairing.
That's your holiday blend, isn't it?
It is my Starbucks holiday blend.
If we put our sharktopus over here on the table, you think anyone would ever clean it up?
No.
Then that's where it shall stay.
One time, Paula will come in here and just like shoot us all to death.
What the hell?
She'll just fuse to the desk.
Tentacles are slowly getting longer.
Most memorable moment in the game of the year, of this year.
For me, it's going through the Mega 4 relay. Just when you're finally doing it, you're like, oh my God, I'm doing it! They're like, oh my God, somebody died, shit!
Oh yeah.
And I was thinking, I hope I have made sure that Jack will die, because that bitch sucks.
You know, my most memorable moment is also for Mass Effect 2, but it is not Levi's moment. It is the moment when I finally got Kelly into bed.
The yeoman?
The yeoman, who sits by the navigation thing.
Your secretary.
Jeez.
Finally... It happened after so long. And I was a female shepherd. So, I mean, it was a big payoff, I got to tell you.
You totally scissored.
Levi.
I enjoyed, when I played Heavy Rain for the first time, I didn't restart or try to save or anything. So whatever ending I was going to get was the ending I was going to get. And I completely failed. So it was like the most down ending of all time. Like, my guys were all dead. I was like, oh, damn it. But it was cool. And I wanted to go back and do it again.
Maybe the first time you eat a ghost chain in Pac-Man Championship.
That was neat.
It's like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Or the first time you get your head chopped off by a buzzsaw in Limbo. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was true.
It's hardcore, man. There's a lot more categories, but, you know, we could go on forever. But maybe we'll look ahead at some of the games that are coming out next year.
Ahoy.
I don't think there are any games coming out next year.
Oh, is this...
the canceled game.
It's over.
Yeah.
What about that?
Books next year.
What about that Crysis 2?
Meh.
There isn't a lot of. I don't sense a lot of buzz about that.
This is a tough one because the PC community really cares, but there's never been a Crysis game on console, so people are like, they don't know, like, what to really.
So
care
the
about.
First, the original Crysis when it came out on PC was probably the best looking game that had come out at that point. Is there a concern that now that since Crysis 2 is being made for consoles also, that it's not going to look as amazing?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't shed any tears over that. I mean,
it won't look as amazing as the PC version, but nothing ever does, so...
Right.
But, I mean,
I just didn't know if the PC version, development of the PC version might have been hampered by
it. Oh, I don't know. Awesome. I would be really surprised. I would be really surprised if it was, because Crytek is so hardcore about that stuff. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the game. I saw it at E3, and I was like... Okay, I sat in on the demo and it looked amazing, but it wasn't like I gotta play this game. Like he's got a nano suit, awesome,
radical.
I don't know. Then again, I don't know much about like the Crysis universe or what's happened in the past games,
or really anything,
or nothing at all. Yeah. Mm. How about you guys?
No, don't care.
Yeah. Doesn't have Green Lantern.
Craig doesn't like those first person shooters very much,
and it takes a lot to get me into it. Maybe once it's closer and more people are talking about why it's crazy cool. I'll be into it. But just the fact that it looks good doesn't do much for me.
Did I mention it's coming to the PlayStation 3?
Oh, my God. Do I get a platinum trophy when I turn it on? Because then I will be very excited for this game.
Dead Space 2 comes early in the year.
Yeah!
We're still excited for that one, I assume.
Definitely.
Super excited. You and me are the only real fans here. You and I are super excited, right, Damon?
Yes.
I usually don't. Whenever I get a multi-platform game, I usually get for the 360. Uh-huh. I will probably definitely get that for the PlayStation.
You
want to
play
3.
Extraction with Move?
I do. Yeah. I want to check that out.
So, what is this? Run me by this. What is this?
They're doing the only edition for PS3 is limited edition, and it comes with Extraction, the Wii game.
Oh, yeah.
Up-res trophies, Move capabilities.
There is only a limited edition for PS3?
I believe that's the way it was described to me by EA.
So the PS3 version is only going to be available in limited quantities?
No, the PS3 version is the limited edition. I don't know.
I mean, what,
do I look like a doctor? Do I look like a doctor? Do I work for EA?
They did that with Medal of Honor, though, right?
I believe so. Yeah. That was what was confusing, because we were trying to understand if they needed two SKUs for Medal of Honor and two SKUs for Dead Space. Like, no, that is the limited edition.
That's strange.
So the limited edition is that it's limited to the PS3. That's how it's limited.
Okay. Wow. All right, then.
Just shut up and enjoy it. All right. How much, when it comes out, Naaman, how many hours are you and I just going to lose to multiplayer? Just sitting there, being babies, walking around, eating people? Just you and me. Best friends.
Bros to the end. I'm going to guess we will lose about 6 minutes to the multiplayer in Dead Space 2.
A lot of people like that, but yeah, it does not seem to be my cup of tea. Yeah.
Also, I'm kind of interested in this Bulletstorm game. I think that game was fun.
Yeah, that looks fun.
I am looking forward to that. But when is that coming? I don't have the window.
It's close, February or March,
It's early in the year, right?
Yeah. I played it at E3 and really liked it, it was a very small amount of time that I was able to play, so I'd like to check it out again and see what's up. But yeah, also, it's totally crazy arcade.
Yeah, like, you know, freezing somebody and then like knocking them into the air and then kicking them and then shooting them again.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Is Little Big Planet 2 do anything for anybody?
Meh.
I never played the first game.
Okay.
I played it, but I wasn't like,
I liked it a lot. I'm looking forward to this.
Seems like a lot of work.
What? You don't have to, you know, make levels.
Yeah, but I'm not that into platform games.
Oh, there you go. So. Yeah, okay, sure.
Did you ever look around, though, some of the stuff that people made?
Because totally awesome.
It is amazing.
I wasn't necessarily into Little Big Planet, but like when I would watch other people, I was just in awe. Like somebody like remade Disneyland, like all the Disney rides, and I thought that was...
It's incredible. Yeah. I'm glad it's around, but it's not really for me.
Not your cup of tea.
Not my cup of meat.
Not your eggnog Starbucks coffee over there.
Gross. That'd be disgusting.
They make that. I want to have it.
I hate eggnog.
I love eggnog.
Really?
Yeah.
We need to get some spiked eggnog in here for the holidays.
Yeah.
DC Universe is coming out next year.
Yeah.
That was supposed to come out this year.
Can't wait to get playing that beta. It's real easy.
Shush. Yeah, I'm still looking forward to that. I'm still planning on taking off days off work to play.
That one's just first half of 2011 is sometime when that's supposed to come out.
Yeah, I bet it'll be pretty quick.
So January 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as the ball drops, they just GameStop's everywhere will open to sell it.
You know, I'd really love to see what that game looks like. If only there were some screenshots available for that game.
Yeah.
For DC Universe.
They put out limited edition quantities every other day.
Jesus. Portal 2 is coming.
Yay.
In April, I believe.
Yeah. Got pushed back.
Yeah, twice.
Supposed to Charles.
Supposed to come this year. Then it's supposed to come in February. Mm-hmm. Now it's coming in April, I believe. That one's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That looks great.
Have they talked about how long this one is? Are they trying to make this one longer?
Well, I mean, it's full retail game this time.
Yeah.
A standalone game, so I can only assume it's going to be.
Maybe when you're playing it, you could call Steimer in and tell her how long it is while you're playing. God.
Does she call you Miller?
Like, do you guys no, she doesn't
strictly
call
on a last name basis?
Too, yeah.
No, I don't know.
There was an explanation. You were like, at work I call her Steimer, and at home I call her Christine.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Keep it all business.
Yeah, pretty much. I think last name, you know, we're in the military here at IGN. Easiest way to do it.
Remember there was this game called Max Payne 3 coming out too?
Nope.
Yeah, that was supposed to come out this year too.
Uh-huh. Mm.
It did, right? Didn't it?
It is out.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, good.
It was fun.
I'm actually interested in that game. I like the Max Payne games quite a bit. I'd play another Max Payne
game. I prefer the movies.
Yes. But now Mark Wahlberg is too busy making Uncharted now. To make another Max Payne.
Put the shotgun in my mouth, Damon. Go ahead. The fact that it's based on nothing, too. They're a family of museum curators who are a big deal in the artifact. It's like, what are you talking about? As if it couldn't get worse. Just make another National Treasure. That's all they needed to do.
Well, L.A. Noire is coming next year, too. Also.
Yep, that's finally. What Rockstar said, yeah.
It's supposed to be in the spring, right? Pretty quick.
Oh, is it the spring?
Well, I thought so.
You're crazy.
Maybe I am.
Spring worked out for
Jim Riley's. Jim Riley's delayed games of 2010 article says it's supposed to come in the first half of 2011.
June 30th.
Yeah.
11:59 at night.
Here it is. Midnight launch. Boom.
And then remember back at E3, Greg?
Yeah.
You played Driver San Francisco.
Oh, my God, did I? You know, I always say there's not enough games that happen in a coma. And so I was really happy that this untapped coma genre has finally been tapped. Because that's what I want next year. I have a feeling we're going to revert back to the old game of the years. You know, best RPG, best strategy.
Best game that takes place in a coma.
Best coma game, yeah. Yeah, we do need to have the best coma game.
I remember watching you play that game.
You get to mind jack people. Like they're pulling in everything. It's a driving game. I imagine you get to shoot something at some point. You are in a coma. You get to do Professor Xavier style looks at the world.
Yeah.
Take over cop bodies. Go out and stop criminals.
It's true.
Yeah. I can't wait.
But there's driving, right?
Yeah, there's okay. Driving involved too.
Huh. And it takes place in.
In a coma.
San Francisco.
Oh yeah. Well yes. In a San Francisco inside your coma induced mind. Okay. See your villain has shot you.
In the
and
head?
Now you. No. You were shot. I don't know. We'll say in the head. Why not?
Somewhere critical.
You've been critically wounded, and you're in the hospital, and you're in a coma. And now to get out of your coma, you have to fight and drive. You have to be a driver in your dreams and get out of there.
Shut up.
Serious.
Yeah, like a metaphor. You got to drive your way out of your coma.
Totally.
This sounds like one of the games that Greg Miller made up, but this is actually the game.
Did you not heard about this game?
I have, yeah. Okay. I still can't believe it's actually real. But at some point along the process, they're like, maybe we'll make it just a regular game.
The best part is then whenever it glitches out too, he'll be like, well, he didn't think that far ahead. Sorry. He didn't imagine that tree until he was right on top of it, so that's why it popped in.
That's from Ubisoft. Ubisoft also has a new Ghost Recon game.
Yeah.
Which could be.
You're also in a coma.
Future Soldier. That's what that one is.
GURFS. Instead of GRAW.
GURFS. Ubisoft also has a Beyond Good and Evil HD coming out this spring for XBLA.
That'll be fun.
Yay.
But the XBLA,
is it just XBLA or is it PSN too?
It's PSN also, I believe. The XBLA game I'm really excited for in the spring is Radiant Silvergun HD.
Oh, you mispronounced it. It's actually called Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime.
You're jumping a little head there.
I'm sorry.
But it's fine. Yeah, we can talk about it. We're talking about games. Yeah, Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime.
Finally. Me and Levi are always talking over the voice chat saying, man, if only we had a Ghostbusters game to play right now.
Like Skype.
We could get other people in. Yeah. And now it's happening.
I actually have a drunk voicemail from you talking about Ghostbusters and Ghost House.
Hell no, really?
Yeah, you called me a couple.
Is it good? Is it?
It's all right.
Should you play it now?
Play it on GameScoop?
It's a 7.
Oh, okay. Well,
I can play it for you. I'd be happy to. You don't remember leaving this?
No, of course not.
No, you were calling from some party and you were just yelling into my phone. I can't believe you wouldn't pick up. I want to talk to you about Ghost House.
You have to play it. That sounds great. Was this past weekend?
Let me see. It's from a few weeks ago.
Okay, because I said that meet and greet in Chicago last weekend. So that I drunk dialed many an IGN editor and let the fans talk to people.
Yeah, no, I've got it under somewhere.
Sanctum of Slime, Damon. 4-player, online only. It's a download off of your favorite download service. And you're going to play it. No names from the real Ghostbusters are there.
And no actors.
No Dan Aykroyd, no Bill Murray. They're not there.
Wonder why.
It makes me wonder, is it going to be voiced? It's from the guy who did Assault Heroes 2.
Wanako. Yeah. So Assault Heroes is a fun game.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so.
Now, Levi, is
ready for this?
Yeah.
That was Craig Harris's goodbye party that I'm
imagining. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Okay, wow. That was a good time.
When did that happen?
Good old.
I felt like I was there.
No, nobody gives Ghost House enough credit. You know it.
Awesome.
Well, you're solving that problem one drunk dial at a time.
Spreading my message.
Levi is a fan of retro games.
Yes.
And so, do you remember the top-down Ghostbusters arcade game that was like Gauntlet? It had like four players. The arcade cabinet had like the four joysticks.
Yeah.
So I think that's what this game, Sanctum of Slime, is like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that one
so
was
that,
fun.
I mean, so I actually like that arcade
game. Yeah, the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real Ghostbusters arcade game.
So this is based on the characters from the real Ghostbusters cartoon?
No. It's very
this is
hazy
a new
right
generation.
Now. Okay. All we know is the USA Today reveal article at this present time.
Okay.
And they were
USA Today.
Way to get that bizarre scoop, Greg.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. Well, they wanted the wide-reaching hotel audience staying in a hotel who could look at a graph on their new morning newspaper. Yeah.
Cup of Starbucks Via in one hand. Yes, USA exactly. Today.
This is Ghostbuster game. Sounds quite interesting. There's four Ghostbusters, and that you're. It's made it sound like they're rookies, or you're the rookie from the last game. So I think it's
okay.
The last game ended. You know, in the credits, they were talking about opening spoilers. Franchises. Spoilers, and maybe that's where this is going to kind of pick up. Even though it's not obviously not a direct sequel, don't expect the
so
same visuals.
So is Atari publishing
though,
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the screenshots they released did look a lot like one of the levels from the actual Ghostbusters game a few years ago.
You can drive the Ecto-3.
I know, the Ecto-3. I'm glad they at least went through it and described it, because I looked at the other screenshot, and it was just like a Jeep Cherokee with a Ghostbuster symbol on it. I was like, that's not the Ecto-1. And then Ecto-3, okay, now I'm with you. Sure.
Well, remember you could buy all the other different cars in like the original
yes.
Ghostbusters
oh, yeah.
game?
Oh, yeah.
Why would you buy in the other car?
I love, because the Ecto sucked. The best car in that game was that dumb green one. Why the
I
hell am I driving
authenticity.
A jackass green car? The Ecto-1 needed, yeah, dumb. So yeah, when you let Sega Master System people program Ghostbuster games.
Or Activision.
Yeah, whoever. I don't know. I was a kid. What do I know?
Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime is due out this spring.
Can't wait.
It's going to be quite a spring from the sound of things.
Yeah.
I know.
I got a spring in my step because of it.
The challenge is Metroid. The power is Nintendo. Defend the planet Zebus against the evil Mother Brain. It's survival or destruction. Do battle or die. Metroid, only from Nintendo.
Levi Buchanan.
Yes.
iPhone game discussion is usually relegated to the end of the news topics this week.
But we're doing it in the middle.
Here and now we're doing it in the middle.
Okay.
They're moving up in the world.
Nice.
Because there's a new iPhone game that I love and am addicted to. I say Angry Birds Who? Is what I say to you, because I am all over Trucks and Skulls.
That's an awesome game.
Trucks and Skulls is awesome. You guys should both be playing it.
Oh, can I play it on a 3G?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, no problem.
Levi describes it as Angry Birds for dudes.
Yeah. For bros?
For dudes.
It plays just like Angry Birds.
It is Angry Birds.
Except instead of launching birds at obstacles and trying to destroy the pigs, you're launching trucks at obstacles and trying to destroy the skulls.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's really good. It's got like this heavy metal, like Frank Frazetta aesthetic to it, and
set in hell.
Yeah.
If you have an iPad, it has a level editor in it.
Yeah.
The thing is, and we talk about this, how Trucks and Skulls is easier. Like it's strange.
It's actually an easier game.
Even though it looks like all hard and everything, it's easier than Angry Birds.
Like I never got stuck on a level more than a few tries. You know?
Yeah.
It just, but I breezed through all.
But that's
all,
okay.
Whatever.
After getting furious with Angry Birds Halloween.
Exactly. Angry Birds Halloween was too difficult. I thought.
Yeah.
There's like 120, 140 levels or something in the main game, and I've plowed through them all over the Thanksgiving break when I was traveling to LA. It was great. But don't take my word for it, listeners. One of you is going to walk home with your own copy of Trucks and Skulls for the iPhone. I have a code for it right here. So.
You know I wish they named that game?
What?
Skull-trucked.
Skull-trucked.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
With an apostrophe D.
Appy is the developer, right?
Like Nailed?
Yeah. Appy Entertainment.
You talked to them?
A little bit.
Have you told them your better name idea?
Yes. They said they thought it was too risque. They didn't think they could get that one past Apple.
Really?
Skull truck you.
Anyway, this is a code for Trucks and Skulls on iPhone. HHN7XL9L64Y9. Please to enjoy. Any code?
I just downloaded it.
We're playing it right now.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. Oh man, these trucks have wheels
and skulls.
What?
Continue.
Stimer, get in here and look at these wheels.
They're so round.
Levi, what's I hear StarCraft is coming to iPhone.
Sort of.
Oh, really?
Except it's called Starfront. It's even intercapped. Like, it's,
yeah.
How many factions are there?
Three.
Oh. Huh.
And it's an RTS called Starfront.
Collision.
Yes. Coming to iPhone. From Gameloft, masters of copycat games.
I actually have a editorial that I'm putting up about this today, kind of defending that practice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't see Blizzard hurrying up am making StarCraft for the iPad. It's a perfect machine for it, and it's been almost a year now. The money's just sitting on the table. People want that game.
Bam.
So why if you know they've why wouldn't Gameloft do it? I mean, mm-hmm. if it's there. Granted, I do think they don't have to be so. They didn't have to adhere so close to it. Like maybe set it in medieval times or something. Like just you don't have to do Starfront.
And they could have called it, you know, Warfront.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. We were also talking about this like Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah, yeah, Eternal Legacy. It's Final Fantasy 13.
Eternal Legacy is great. Yeah.
From also from Game Life.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like and like Levi was saying yesterday, like Square isn't making new great you know, RPGs for the iPhone. Yeah. So the Game Loft comes in and is like,
well, they made Chaos Rings.
Yeah, but no. That wasn't good.
I liked that.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. Ooh.
I know you guys didn't.
We like good games.
Oh. Yeah, so I mean the last Final Fantasy game that Square put on the iPhone was Final Fantasy 2.
They're rolling them out. They got a lot to get.
So by the time y'all are up to like 26, then like I got 13 finally. And then I died.
Jesus. Then I died.
Jesus. I'm looking forward to playing Starfront Collision.
Yeah.
Because I would love to play StarCraft, but I don't play PC games, you know. So I can't now I actually get to play StarCraft on my phone. And you played it, right?
Just very briefly on an iPad.
And
was it awesome?
Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine playing a StarCraft-like game on my iPhone. It's just so much going on.
Yeah, I didn't play it on the iPhone. I only played the iPad version. Yeah. But it played just like the original StarCraft.
I think a touch interface is an amazing thing for RTSs, though. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, you can just bloop, draw a little circle around your guys. It's so much easier than...
Are there other RTS games for iPhone?
There's a version of Command & Conquer that's just decent. And there's some other non-brand RTSs, mm-hmm. but
there's no great
none
RTS
that have ever gone. None of them have ever gone as far as Starfront is in making like just a full featured PC RTS game.
Mm-hmm. When is Starfront coming out?
January.
Okay,
Levi, I want to bend your ear for a second. We went to this EA event a while back. Played a bunch of games. There they had SimCity on the iPad, mm-hmm. and I thought it was awesome. And he said it was also on the iPhone. Is that already out, or was I previewing a game there? That I was unsure.
The iPhone version's already out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When are iPads going to be affordable? Because the SimCity on the iPad was awesome. I'd like to try that. How is it going to be on my iPhone?
Remember SimEarth? Mm-hmm. That game was intense.
Remember SimAnt?
So question one, when will an iPad be affordable?
Years.
Damn it. All right. And how is it on the
iPhone? Yeah, but the iPhone still isn't affordable, but we all buy it anyway.
$200, that's not bad. For everything that thing does.
Yeah, but then $80 a month. For the
you know, well, that's because
yeah, and considering like people who buy it and jailbreak it or whatever, like a lot of people do that.
They're monsters.
They're monsters.
I mean, we'll buy it anyway. The iPad's not going to become quote affordable, but we're going to all get to a point where we're like, okay, I'll buy it anyway. Mm-hmm. So what's
our voices
Apple
are going to sound like that?
Yeah, because we'll be old.
That's when we decide.
Oh, just kill me! Put a bullet in my brain pan.
Jesus.
Play Rad Racer. Play with power. It's turbo speed in 3D. It's treacherous tracks, hot cars, hairpin turns. One mistake and you'll roll. Rad Racer, only from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power.
Geddes.
Yes.
Gran Turismo 5 has been out for over a week now.
2 days, yeah. Mm-hmm.
IGN gave it an 8.5.
Yes, they did.
I'm still confused about whether or not cars have damage in it, though.
Yes, okay. So they do. The premium cars... 200 of the.
And what is what does it mean? Premium cars? You have to pay extra for these?
No. So there's two different tiers of cars in Gran Turismo 5: premium and standard. There are like a thousand cars in the game, give or take. Roughly 200 of them are premium, and 800 of them are standard. They all look great. Only the premium cars have full damage modeling and interior cockpit views. So when you're seeing damage on cars, you're seeing it in premium cars. And it's all there. Martin Robinson and our UK team who reviewed the game talked to Sony recently and said, hey, what's the deal with damage? How does it work? They confirmed that it wasn't something you're unlocking over time, that it's there. It's already there from the beginning, and you can just, like, you know, progress and see throughout the game, and you'll see damage the whole time.
Hmm. Is that weird?
Easy. Why wouldn't you know that? It's on the back of the box, that entire explanation.
You know what's weird, too? I was talking to Martin about this morning. So I played a little bit of Gran Turismo 5 on a review build, as did Martin, to review the game. And then a patch came out. If you're playing Gran Turismo 5 at home, you know that when you put the game in, you get a patch right away. I don't know if it's been at day one, but I put it in yesterday at home, and I got a patch that I downloaded. And now there are tips on the screen that kind of walk you through the beginning of the game, like a little tutorial that says, you know, first buy a car. It should be a new car or a used car. Here's how to get there.
They used cars?
Yeah. I didn't see that on the review build. So I was asking Martin this morning over email. I haven't heard back from him yet, but like whether or not that was not in the review build and I just missed it, or whether they added that into the patch too. There's a lot, I think, of new information that came through with the patch that I'm just not sure.
They're putting out a lot of patches too still down the line.
Yeah, it's been a weird launch for that game.
It is weird.
I mean, from the very beginning, it's just been really, really
odd.
It was
like delayed, and then it was like, it's here!
Well, I mean, you figure the game came together so quickly, there was really no time to get these kind of things ironed out.
Like a one-year turnaround. They've been really iterating on that.
I think at E3, Jack Trent was like, you guys should make a Gran Turismo. And he was like, you're right. We'll have it out in November. And he's like, all right, cool.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
We saw it at TGS, and that was it. Boom. There we go.
So the damage thing is a non-troversy.
Oh, God.
Oh, just a withering glare.
Yeah, well, a bunch of people were speculating that it was like this crazy unlockable thing, and you unlock it at level 40 or something.
Yeah,
and
you figure Martin put up a review that the fanboys didn't like, and so immediately they went to work on trying to discredit him any way they could. Hmm. Never mind that Martin had been playing that game for 2 solid weeks.
A long time.
And been playing it a long time, and seen a ton of it, and they're just like, well, you have to get to level 40 to unlock it. This doesn't mean anything. Blah, blah, blah.
And Martin's a huge GT fan. I mean, he's a big driving game fan in general. And I mean, I am too, and I agree with Martin's score. I mean, I haven't played tons of the game, but, it's really great at being a driving sim. It's like, I was messing around with it last night, and like, all the car information. There's so much car information. The cars look great. The driving is great. The physics are great. But as a game, it's just kind of clunky, and it's old school, and it's a little bit stuck in the past.
Is it just yet another example of Japanese developers not really getting with it?
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, it's still, like, totally worth buying if you're into this. I hate to do the fans of the genre thing, but it's like, if you're into racing sims, like, you're already going to buy this game, and you totally should. Hmm. But if you're looking for Gran Turismo to do something modern, it's not really doing it. It's still Gran Turismo that you played on the PlayStation 2.
I love that there's that downloadable racing sim on PSN. What's that one called? It just came out. V8.
Oh, yeah. V8 Superstars.
And they're holding an official contest
to win a copy, of Gran Turismo 5.
It's pretty awesome.
Will you be the one to witness the birth of the incredible Nintendo Entertainment System? The one to play with Rob, the extraordinary video robot, batteries not included. He helps you tackle even the toughest challenge. Will you be the first to raise the incredibly accurate Zapper and play games like Duck Hunt or action-packed Hogan's Alley and high-flying Kung Fu, each sold separately? Will you be the one to experience the Nintendo Entertainment System? Comes with Rob, Zapper, Control Deck, 2 controllers, Gyromite, and Duck Hunt.
Levi.
Yes.
We're going to end our news roundup this week on the news that Nintendo's Wii Speak peripheral is being discontinued.
Surprise!
This is Nintendo's solution to get people talking online while they play.
Worked like a charm.
Wii games online. Not a headset, just like an open speaker and microphone that you set up in your living room. And
yeah, because when I'm playing Animal Crossing, I just want to yell at the TV.
I know.
Hey! You want to trade some cherries?
In your personal gaming life, did you ever really use Wii Speak?
No. Never. Mm-hmm. Ever.
That's probably why it's being discontinued.
Because of Levi?
Yeah.
Yes, because of Levi.
I wield that kind of influence.
It's still available at limited retail locations. Nintendo says additional...
Goodwill.
Additional shipments.
Salvation Army.
Additional shipments can be made if consumer demand increases. So big games that have used it are Animal Crossing, of course, The Conduit, and Endless Ocean Blue World, but Call of Duty Black Ops just came out. Even though it has online playing, it doesn't use Wii Speak. And Conduit 2 comes next year, it's not using Wii
Speak.
Wasn't
Endless Ocean the game where you just swim around in the ocean and look at stuff?
Yeah.
But why would you want Wii Speak for that?
Apparently you can swim around the ocean and look at stuff with other people.
Have you seen any land?
You're very, very, very cold.
There's a fucking shark over there.
Does anyone know if these red fish are edible?
But apparently, High Voltage Software, the developer of Conduit 2, says they decided to go with the Headbanger headset for Conduit 2 instead of Wii Speak. So how is, I don't understand how a headset's working with the Wii. I didn't know they any Wii games use.
I'm sure you have to plug it into the bottom of the Wiimote.
I hadn't. This is the first time I've heard of any game using that, though.
This is the first time I've heard of anybody playing Wii games.
Oh.
What? No, I don't mean that.
It's a. I mean, it's a strange requirement. Nobody's going to run out. Well, okay, eight people will probably go, oh, I need to get that Headbanger headset so I can play Conduit 2.
They're chanting as they drive to the GameStop.
Headbanger, headbanger,
headbanger, headset. Flip the truck.
2011, the year that Nintendo announces its next console?
I hope so.
They have to.
Probably.
Right?
Wii's momentum has definitely tapered off.
I mean, they moved 500,000 units over Thanksgiving weekend, sure. But I think a lot of that was heavily discounted. Like
and it was bundled with two games.
Sales, yeah. So their margins are probably not as high as they have been in the past. But
bigger question, do you think Skyward Sword gets pushed onto the new console?
If they're smart, I think that they do that.
Yeah.
But then it could just be like the same situation totally. As Twilight Princess, where it's like, this is just a Wii game.
I don't think that'll be. I think it'll be on the Wii.
Yeah.
And they'll announce it at E3 or a Japanese event or whatever, but it's not going to be coming out this
right.
year.
Right, yeah, I don't
or
think
maybe
come
even
out
next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that you'll still see Zelda on the Wii.
Yeah,
they won't put out whatever comes after the Wii next year, because next year's all 3DS.
Yep.
That's all they're going to want to push.
Let's check in with the listeners.
All right.
Elijah Gonzalez. He says, I just finished my top 50 favorite games list on my IGN.
Yay.
Nice.
Made me realize I have no idea what any of your favorite games are. My question to you guys is, what are your top 5 favorite games of all time? They don't have to be in any particular order. If you can't
think
of 5...
Well, they kind of do.
And if you can't think of 5, that's fine. Just give me a general idea.
For the longest time, my number one was Metal Gear Solid. Probably still is.
Yeah.
Peace Walker's in there now, though, too. One day I have to sit down and have a conversation with myself about where that fits into the hierarchy.
Okay, Greggy.
Ocarina of Time. That's in there. Mm-hmm. A solid number 2. I have 2. Or 3, I guess. There's 3. Uh-huh.
Well, I'm gonna go crazy here and call Mass Effect 1 and 2 one game, because you used your same save, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's the same basic idea.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect, Final Fantasy Tactics. What else?
Final Fantasy Tactics is awesome.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, there's so many, I don't even know.
I had a good feeling.
This is the way. I'm trying to think of the other things. They send the guys out on their jobs and they come back. We searched and...
Well, yes. Yes,
what,
yes.
What happened? We found nothing. Damn it.
Levi?
Let's see. Alex Kidd in Miracle World.
Mm-hmm.
Ocarina of Time. Probably Super Mario Brothers 3. I think if there's anything like terribly recent that I've gone, I think that's going to displace something.
It'd be cool to arrange your game library in order of your favorite games. I wonder if anybody does that. I'd be interested in hearing how people arrange their game shelves anyway. Like, I do by platform and then alphabetically within that, within those platforms, but I wonder if anybody else does it by like I knew a guy who his personal home book library, he arranged all the books in order of publication date. Not by author. Like, does anybody do crazy stuff
so
like that?
So does always start with Bible?
Yeah, the Bible is always first. He had the Dead Sea Scrolls, too. So the Dead Sea Scrolls were first. I don't know.
Really, the word of the Lord is eternal. There's no start date.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so it's still being worked on. So it would be at both the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. Sorry, we'll stop.
See what we did there?
My top 5. Shadowgate on NES. Mario 64. Majora's Mask. Disgaea and Dead Space.
Weird list.
Weird list?
You're more of a Nintendo fanboy than I realized.
Out of curiosity, when's the last time you've played Mario 64?
It's been a while.
Does not hold up.
Really?
At least I don't think it does.
I would
say
Super Mario World for me.
Super Mario World's a great game. I didn't think Super Mario 64 held up.
Super Mario 64 is like important, but I don't know about favorite for me. I loved it at the time. It blew my mind. Right?
It was my first introduction to 3D gaming.
Right. It like made your brain do backflips, right?
Like, wow.
But now it's like, I don't know.
Stop doing that brain.
Well, I have to think about it. I think about it a little bit more.
Yeah,
David
was an unfair
because
question.
He knew the,
you knew
the
ahead
question
of
ahead of time.
He had them all written down.
That's true.
Ultima 7. As well. It's one of my favorites.
Ghost House.
Sorry, go ahead.
Archon.
Tyson says, just wanted to say I love the show. I had one question. What is your favorite console, not counting this generation? NES.
Genesis.
Original PlayStation.
Gosh. Dreamcast.
Yeah,
probably Dreamcast.
These are all great.
I think that's the last machine like I ever had like an emotional like attachment to.
Yeah, totally. Because it was the last console that was only about games.
Yeah,
like nothing. Like ever since then, it's been like we want to be the media hub where you can stream the Netflixes and have a friends list. Dreamcast was just like, hey, we don't fucking care about DVDs. We're just gonna give
it didn't
you this
play DVDs?
Because we like it. No, that was why it failed. Like the PlayStation 2 came out and could play DVDs, and Dreamcast Sega was just like, no, we like this format, and we're all about games, and
like
that's
GD.
It.
DVD.
I don't know if you guys heard, we have something called a VMU. So screw you, we're gonna win.
Those are the days when Peter Moore was head of Sega.
The glory days.
This is Alex Ross Scoop.
Really? Uh-huh. The artist?
Alex Ross is an artist?
Yeah, he's a fantastic artist.
I don't think so.
Says, I was looking to get my younger sister more interested in games. She has a Wii. She rarely plays it. She struggles with games that present any sort of challenge. So
Conduit 2.
Thinking of getting her.
Make sure she gets a headbanger.
Something. Yeah, headbanger headset, copy of Conduit 2.
Thinking of getting her something particularly easy like Kirby's Epic Yarn or Okami. I've rented Okami for her before and she enjoyed it. Which do you guys think she would like more?
Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby is, like, that's what Kirby is, right? Yeah. It's a super easy, but really
pretty and
fun game. I played Okami. I didn't think it was particularly easy, but Kirby's a really good choice to go with.
Yeah.
Jack Young.
Speaking of Kirby, don't we have a fun Kirby thing coming up?
Yeah, we're working
on.
We have a really cool Kirby feature coming up soon. It's the old. Well, we're trying to figure out how to
scan the internets for a Kirby video soon.
Call it Kirby Sucks and Blows.
Yeah, I don't want to reveal what it is.
What's in Kirby's mouth?
Oh, hey, Steimer, come in here and look at what's in Kirby's mouth. Jack Young says, "I was just wondering what you guys do when you're angry with the game." Where I'm from, this is called rage quitting.
Yeah.
And people will just quit in a fit of anger, turn off their console. One of my friends even went as far as to snap one of his game discs. Wondered what your thoughts were.
I rend my garments.
I just cuss a lot.
I curse a lot.
Yeah, I just swear.
I think that all of us, because of what we do, we've trained ourselves to not turn the console off in anger.
Yeah.
Because, like,
you have to
our
done.
Jobs, if we do not review that game on time, like, we're screwed. So if you turn it off in anger and lose your save, then you got to do all that work over. You can't just not play the game anymore. Mm. So I don't do that anymore. I've done that in the past, but I don't do that anymore. But now, you just kind of yell and scream. Because Steimer is the best at that. Yeah. She yells at video games more than anybody I've ever known. She just stands up at her desk yelling at games. Why are you doing that? You are stupid. Why don't you do that better?
That's the thing is, I think I will speak to the developer.
Oh. Like,
really? You thought that was a good idea?
I scream and curse, and then I'll pantomime throwing a controller.
Because
I
don't want to pantomime?
In a real fit of rage, I was playing with my friend in SmackDown 2 on PS... Or no, SmackDown Just Bring It on PS2. And in a fit of rage, I slammed it down on our dorm room floor, which is concrete, and I split the controller. So ever since then, I've been very careful usually not to really throw it. Mm. So I as if I were really chuck it at the wall or at Portillo.
You know, you can hurt your arm that way.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
How so?
You can because...
Tell me more.
If you have all that energy, and if you don't actually release something, that energy doesn't go, and you can hurt your arm in here.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Too much energy.
I haven't seen anybody in the IGN offices throw a controller or break something in a really long
time. Yeah, I've
never
seen anyone have a fit. Mm-mm.
I'm trying to think of people who used to like be the really angry, crush things gamers, but I can't.
Once when my Wolverine save got overwritten and I lost all my progress, I slammed my desk so hard with my fists that it made Clemence's PS3 skip during a boss battle. He was so pissed. That's awesome. He was livid.
When I was a kid, I put a hole in my parents' bedroom wall. My NES was set up in their bedroom, the TV in their bedroom, so the living room TV wasn't monopolized when I was playing games. And I was playing some game, and I got so mad, I like kicked the wall. Like, you know, it's just like this sort of stuff, and I put this big dent in it. My parents actually didn't get mad at me for it. I mean, they were like,
I was going to say, how long did you lose your NES?
They were like, that's dumb. I was like, I told them that, and I felt really bad, so I didn't get in any trouble.
Okay.
Anyway,
you should have.
I probably should have.
They coddled you, didn't they? That's why you turned out like this.
That's why you have anger issues now.
It's true. I was a really good kid. I never got in trouble. And even if I like got, you know, grounded or whatever, my mom would like come into my room and like sneak me McDonald's and stuff. This is Nick Westcott. Says, I doubt this will be read on the air, but just figured I'd put it out there.
I doubt it too, Crumble.
Do you guys think that you'd benefit from a front page article that once and for all settled that the overall score, the overall IGN score, is not an average?
No.
Granted, you do have the ratings guide, but if readers aren't going to read, but if readers aren't reading the review, then they sure as hell aren't reading the ratings guide. I write this because for some strange reason, there is a larger than expected outcry of babies whining about Arthur's review of Splatterhouse. Anyway. Really appreciate the work you guys do. Apparently, they, yeah, I don't know. They're saying, like, it's your everything. Score is not an average of blah, blah, blah.
How can you get a 6.5 in graphics and still get a 4? And get a 4. Yeah, yeah. No. And no, because it wouldn't help because the same people who don't read the ratings guide aren't going to read an article about ratings.
Yeah.
They're there to look at the score and scream.
Yep. Yeah. And that's fine. They can do that.
And also, don't start your emails. I doubt this will be right on the air. This is really annoying. Everybody hates
you get that a lot?
Yeah.
I don't get that a lot, bro.
Not a lot, but
it's such
it's
a successful way to ask for a date. I doubt you'll say yes, yeah, but yeah. Would you have dinner?
This is Brady. He says, when I heard you guys were playing Game Dev Story, I went out and bought it. Unfortunately, I have no idea what I'm doing. I can't seem to make a game that gets a score higher than a 6 or afford the license for any system after the Game Kid. Could you all please share some game developing hints with me and the rest of the Scoop Nation?
Remember that it takes a long time to build up.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to, it takes a while to get to where you're building, you know, getting games that are getting 8, 9, 6.
Yeah, just the way the game is designed, you can't make high-rated games until you put a lot of time into.
Yeah. I mean, what you should be doing is taking contracts in the very beginning. Like, I'd make a crappy little game after I got my first license, then contract, crappy little game, contract, because just to get your money, you know, rolling to where you can actually then start
and to
buying.
Get research data.
Totally.
Spend your research data to boost the fun of the game. And get, if you can get, you know, you, there's like ratings for fun, creativity, music,
and
graphics. You should boost those all. And if you can get those higher than 100, then that's you're going to be really getting really good scores. And you'll start seeing it. The word is getting out that your game has a high fun rating.
Yeah,
and people are starting to line up for your game. So that's when you
level
know,
up people too. Like eventually you hit the max level and you can still train people and make them better. And then eventually once they're at max level, you're doing well, you're getting money, you can fire them and then hire better people that are like awesome at everything.
Also, from what I can tell, there's no reason to keep an eye on your money. So you can just go into the red. It's fine. Just spend all the money you want to. Buy the most expensive advertising you can. And there are no repercussions.
Yeah, there's no end game.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, you have
you've run out of money.
Cash.
Yeah,
you can be $1 billion in the hole and it's fine. This is Dave Murphy. Do you ever see a point where written reviews are no longer a part of IGN and instead the focus is wholly shifted to video reviews?
Nope.
There you go.
Yeah.
Last but not least here, Demetrius Robinson shared a comic with us earlier this week. This is the first Knockin' Boots comic that I know of. Inspired by the Do You Eat story. Did you see this when I posted this earlier?
No.
Here you go.
You eat?
Yeah. This is a really good comic. So we're going to add this.
Levi likes the face.
What's
the
happening
mouth.
To the...
Do you eat? We're going to put this up on the podcast wall here, Demetrius.
Good work.
Yeah.
She's hot too. I'm sorry, that mouth.
That's everybody's favorite
I'm
panel.
I'm going to take this with me to the restroom.
Of the comic.
Oh. Whoa. Levi. Hey, give it to me. I'll start folding. Get it put up on the wall.
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. We got a lot. There's so many events going on. We got Natsume Holiday Party.
Ooh,
to go
yeah,
to tonight.
It's going to be tight.
Roshana, you know her from Knockin' Boots. She has a birthday party tonight. I'm DJing tomorrow. We've got IGN Holiday Party next Thursday.
I'm playing World of Warcraft on Sunday.
There you go.
God.
Yeah. Lots of stuff is going on. But thank you, Greg.
No problem.
Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Levi.
Thanks.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. And we're out.
Come get some.
Beware, I live.
IGN GameScoop.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.